Hello out there, and welcome to Work with Miles Okazaki, where I share a few things I've picked up over the years as a guitarist and composer in New York City. If you like what you hear, you could go over to Patreon and become a member for a very small fee and have access to video versions of all of these episodes and others that aren't included here. Download materials such as sheet music and exercises, and have the ability to ask me questions directly and request topics for new episodes. This program focuses on the guitar, but goes into many other areas, so there should be something for everyone. And the show starts now. All right, welcome back, and welcome new members. In the last week or so, we have Benjamin Anderson, Phil Ring, Bradley McKellop, Diego Melgar, Mark Gardner, Andrew, Eli Lewis, Ricardo Mino, Darren Bomer, TRL, Ryan Hernandez, Aaron Hodges, and Daniel Benabou. Thank you so much for joining. Hope you're finding things interesting here. Got a lot of categories of things you can kind of search around in, go down rabbit holes. And thank you everyone else who's been sharing word about this site and spreading the word. Word of mouth is how we do it, is how we keep it going. All right. So today I'd like to get into, let me turn this down here. I'm hearing a little bit of headphone noise. Okay. Today I'd like to get into a question, you know, member question. As I usually do, I like to jump off of something a member's asked, and lately we have been going into some pretty, like, theoretical, in-the-weeds type of stuff. So I have been getting some questions about, well, what about learning tunes and playing changes and all that stuff, you know? And, of course, yeah, that's a big topic. I like to do things that are kind of related to real situations. So it just so happens that I have a gig coming up, and there's a few tunes that I need to kind of take a closer look at. There's one in particular that I've played for many years. I think I've played it a bunch of times in different groups and stuff like that, but I've never really played the melody because I was maybe in the rhythm section or something, or maybe I played the melody but kind of not quite really knowing it that well. And so I wanted to get into learning this tune. We could do it together, okay? Now, I'm not going to do the whole transcription part here because that's so long. We did some transcription stuff before, and it just makes for some really long videos. So I did sit down with it and kind of come up with my transcription. I'll just show it to you. But the tune that I'm talking about is called Hot House. Hot House. It's a bebop classic, and it starts off like, okay. I'm not gonna play the whole tune right now because I want to get into it, you know, from the beginning. And let's see, what is the beginning of this? For me, the beginning of knowing this tune would have been from Emily Remler, the great guitarist Emily Remler, who was really a big influence on me as a young teenager, like 14, 15 years old. Talking about 1989, I spent a summer workshop with her, so following her around, just trying to absorb as much information as possible. And I really tried to emulate her articulation and her time feel, and her just facility on the guitar was just incredible. Really what I love is her time feel. It was just fantastic. And she had a version of Hot House that she played on this record called East to West. And it's just burning. I mean, it's really fast. It's like, and so I had learned it from that record. And of course, it's not quite the same as the Charlie Parker, Dizzy Gillespie version. It's on guitar. It's much later time period, and she has an intro that she does and all this other stuff. So as tunes are, they're modified over time. And so I don't think I ever really learned it, like, all the little details. There's a bunch of little ornaments and turns and things in it, in the original version. So I wanted to go back and kind of figure it out for real, because in this gig, I'll probably play the melody. So I need to know the melody, obviously. And for me, I don't really like to learn a tune from a chart, you know, the first time. I like to, I might make a chart, but I like to learn it by ear from some kind of recording, and usually from different sources, to see, oh, how did it change? A lot of these bebop tunes, they change quite a bit from one performance to another, you know? So I kind of try to triangulate and figure out, like, well, most of the time it does this, so, you know, we'll do it that way. Or sometimes it's like one version that you think is really hip, they do something special, you could do it that way, whatever, you know, might give you an idea. So what's the deal with Hot House? Well, the thing with Hot House is written by Tad Dameron. It's made famous by Charlie Parker and Dizzy Gillespie. There's a video of Charlie Parker and Dizzy Gillespie playing it on a TV show or something, and I'll put a link to that. And that's the one I use mostly as a reference, along with a couple of other studio recordings and live recordings. And Hot House is one of those tunes that's based on another tune, okay? And the tune that's based on is Cole Porter's What Is This Thing Called Love? Very common tune. One of my favorite versions of that would be Max Roach and Clifford Brown, Sonny Rollins at Basin Street. That's a classic version of it. There's so many versions, but in any case, there's a part in this book, you don't have to take it from me because I can just read from an original source. This book that I've talked about before, To Be or Not to Bop, Dizzy Gillespie. Great resource, all in first person stories. So there is something in here, I think it's 206 or something like that. Yeah, here it is, 207. They're talking about Monk a little bit. If you're playing with Monk and you don't know the changes, shame on you. You'll never hear them from him. That's funny about Monk kind of withholding the information. So this is Dizzy Gillespie talking. We were getting it. We used to practice all the time. This is like, you know, in the early 40s. We'd take the chord structures of various standard and pop tunes and create new chords, melodies, and songs from them. We found out what the composers were doing by analyzing these tunes and then added substitute chords to songs like Night and Day, How High the Moon, Lover, What Is This Thing Called Love, Whispering. When we borrowed from a standard, we added and substituted so many chords that most people didn't know what song we really were playing. How High the Moon became Ornithology, What Is This Thing Called Love was Hot House. And then it goes on to talk about some of these tunes. We started developing more chords out of a single chord on a tune called Whispering. Instead of E-flat to D7, we made four chords, E-flat, A minor. Okay, so it goes into some real musical details, very interesting. Then, of course, there are about 10 million tunes written. We needed a melody to fit that, so I wrote Groovin' High. Of course, there are about 10 million tunes written on the changes of I Got Rhythm, and Tad Dameron came up with Hot House from What Is This Thing Called Love. That was a thing in bebop. Putting in substitutions. Okay, so that's pretty cool. You know, that's just a straight description of, you know, what you know, where that tune came from. So that's the deal with it. So what is this thing called love? Well, then it seems like in order to play Hot House, really you should know What Is This Thing Called Love, right? So where is my... I had a book around here someplace. Oh, here it is. Porter on Broadway. This is like, you know, if you're like me, you like to go to old bookstores and root around in the sheet music section and find like old show tune books. So this is just a Cole Porter book, piano sheet music book. I have a bunch of these of different composers to go look up the original sheet music for a song. It's interesting to see, right? So this one has it in here. What Is This Thing Called Love, page 216. So what is the reason for this? It's just to see, you know, What is the really basic version of it, and especially the basic version of the melody? That's what I really like to see, you know. What are the words, and then how did the composer write the melody? So here, there's a verse. I was a humdrum person. Okay, so we're not going to go through the verse, because I've never even heard anybody play the verse to this. You know, some tunes people play the verse, like the verse is like part of the tune that you always hear, like Stardust or something like that. But I haven't really heard the verse of this song. Usually people just start right on it, and they're very influenced by that Sonny Rollins version that I'm talking about earlier. So what is this thing? This is nice that this is actually in the same key that people usually play it in C major. Now what I'm looking at here is just piano music. It's just piano music with another staff above that has the lyrics on it. What is this thing called love? Okay, so it starts with the title of the tune. And there's this funny thing called love. Just who can solve? It's not a great key for me. This mystery. It's either too high or too low. Why should it make a fool of me? That's funny because that melody sounds minor-ish, right? But it's to a major chord. And then it goes to the minor four, back to the one. I saw you there one wonderful day. You took my heart and threw it away. That's interesting on the end of that bridge. It gets from A flat major to F minor by going through the augmented. So it's A flat major, you change that E flat to an E natural, you get A flat augmented, and you change that E natural to an F, you get to F minor. They do that kind of move. That's why I asked the Lord. So when you hear people play this tune, they play like some extra notes right there usually. Not like in the beginning, it's just, what is this thing? But that's why I asked the Lord. So there's two extra notes there because of the lyric. In heaven above, what is this thing called love? Okay, so that's what it is. It's the melody's pretty simple. This is, as far as Cole Porter tunes go, this is a pretty simple tune. But still, and this is where I wanted to get into a certain thing that a lot of tunes have that a lot of people have a lot of trouble with. And that's this thing called a so-called minor 2-5, okay? Now, in this original sheet music, they don't really have it. They just have dominant 7 chords. It just starts on a G7. But when, jazz players and stuff play it, and when you hear like Charlie Parker and those guys play it, they're playing more stuff in there. They're not playing just the 5 chord. They're playing a preparation to the 5. And a 2-5 in the key of C major would write D minor 7, G7, C, right? But they play like what they call D minor 7 flat 5. And they do it on both of these cadences. So it's like a G minor 7 flat 5 to a C7 or to an F minor. And then a D minor 7 flat 5 to a G7 to a C major 7. So that's like a lot of chords. It's a lot of chords, 6 chords right there. And it's often kind of difficult to know what to play on that weird 2 chord with the minor 7 with the flat 5. Like, what really is going on there? Because if you play something that you would play on a minor 7, yeah, and you play the D natural on that G, that D is really clashing with the sound of the chord, which has a D flat in it. You don't want that sound, but that sound is the 5th. So if you can't play the fifth, I mean, what can you do, you know? And the reason that that's hard is because that note is not the fifth, actually. Functionally, it's not the fifth. Functionally, that D natural does not exist in that because it's not part of it. The D flat, this is flat five for that D flat, but that's not the five, that's the third. So I'm gonna explain that. I'll explain it with Dizzy Gillespie. Dizzy Gillespie will explain it. So we'll go back to this book. Okay, back to this book. So, now in my ending, if I can't get started, there's an expansion of a minor sixth chord going to the first chord of the end of the ending of that song, and also to the introduction of Round Midnight. Okay, so what's he talking about there? I can't get started is like, it's like. I'm not sure what the ending is. Something like is what he's talking about. It's some sort of chain of minor 7 flat 5s going to dominance. But in the beginning of Round Midnight, that's what that is also. So this is just A minor 7 flat 5, D7, G minor 7 flat 5, C7, F minor 7 flat 5, B. So the bass is going through the circle of fifths, and the chords are alternating minor 7 flat 5 to dominant 7 chords. Minor 7 flat 5 is also called half diminished sometimes, which is even a more confusing thing to talk about, because diminished is totally a different thing, you know. But anyway, as Dizzy Gillespie continues, he says, what does he say? It's the same progression. Those are two of my most well-known solos and ballads, and the first time I heard that, Monk showed it to me. And he called it a minor sixth chord with a sixth in the bass. Okay. Nowadays, they don't call it that. They call the sixth in the bass the tonic and the chord a C minor 7 flat 5. Okay, so what Dizzy's saying is that, let's say you're on Round Midnight. And you're in E flat minor. And the bass line it starts in E flat minor, it's just kind of walking down, and it gets to where there's a C in the bass. But you still have an E flat there, E flat minor, in the top, okay? So he's saying, what Monk is saying is that this is just an E flat minor with a sixth in the bass. C is the sixth of E flat minor, you know, the natural sixth. And you put that in the bass and you get C minor 7 flat 5, okay? So what people call C minor 7 flat 5. Dizzy Gillespie here is saying it's not the tonic. He says they call the sixth in the bass a tonic and the chord of C minor 7 flat 5. He's saying it's not the tonic. The tonic is E flat, right? So that's why I was saying when you have this G minor 7 flat 5, what it really is a B flat minor with a sixth in the bass, okay? And the B flat minor, so that D flat, the thing you're calling a flat five in relation from G is really the third, the minor third of B flat, okay? Nowadays, trust me, this is all, the point of all this is to actually simplify. I know it's a lot of like, throwing around a lot of intervals and things like that, but the point is to say that this minor 7 flat 5 thing can be confusing because it's telling you that it's like some kind of a chord, you know, off of a root that's not the root. You know, the root is actually somewhere in the middle of the chord. So it's the sixth that's in the bass. So what Monk called an E flat minor sixth chord with a sixth in the bass, the guys nowadays call it C minor 7 flat 5. Okay, saying it again. C is the sixth note of an E-flat chord. The sixth, he keeps saying it in all different ways. C is the sixth note of an E-flat chord. The sixth in the bass. The bass plays that note. They call it a C minor 7 flat 5 because an E-flat minor chord is E-flat, G-flat, B-flat. So it's exactly the same thing. An E-flat minor chord with a sixth in the bass is C, E-flat, G-flat, B-flat. C minor 7 flat 5 is the same thing. C, E-flat, G-flat, B-flat. Some people call it a half diminished sometimes. Sometimes, and this is in whenever this is written, 70s. I would say most people call it that now. So I extended that into a whole series of chords. B minor, E7, B, okay, so, okay. Oh, B minor, E7, B flat minor, E flat 7, A minor, That's what he does on I Can't Get Started. Something like that. So in any case, the reason I'm saying this is to think about, like, how do you play these changes? So on what is this thing called love? You have like two chord progressions in the beginning of the tune. So I got like a G minor 7 flat 5 to a C 7 to an F minor. I'm speaking in the things that you would normally see on like a chart or something like that. D minor 7 flat 5, G 7, C major. Okay, let's just focus on that. Six chords. Now, to me, that's like a lot, kind of a lot to think about. I would like to think about more like, how does this work? Okay, so if I say that G minor 7 flat 5 is really B flat minor, you know, like if I just take, let me see if my looper is on. Is this working? All right. So if I try to chase around these chords, let's say I do arpeggios or something, you know, like. Get kind of stuck. I have to get stuck in this arpeggio language, but if I just think of it as like B flat minor, going to F minor, say, well, what about that C7? Well, it's a C7 with a flat 9. It's the same thing. It's a B flat minor anyway. It's the same sound, really. So I can just continue in this B flat minor sound. If you really want to get the sound of the C7, just hit an E natural. Simplest version, B flat minor to F minor. Okay, fine. So that's a little bit simpler than you know, all those other chords. So what about that other chord progression? So right after that, you got D half diminished, G, 7, C major. Again, let's do a new loop. Let's do a... Come on now. Erase. Oh, my one machine is not talking to the other one. Oh, I see. Yeah, so if you have the D half diminished to C to G7 to C, that sounds like this. Again, I could do arpeggios. Feels like, again, like I'm kind of stuck in that area. Like, what am I really doing on this D minor? Well, remember that D minor 7 flat 5 is just really an F minor with the 6th in the bass. This is F minor with a D in the bass. So I can just think of F minor for that whole part. Then go to C major. Or even hipper, maybe, just F minor to E minor. That way I get that major 7th sound. All I'm thinking about is F minor to C major, or F minor to E minor even, you know, to get a little nicer, softer sound. Okay? Now, how about the whole chord progression? And by the whole thing, I mean the two cadences. So we got 1, 2, 3, 4. So I got B flat minor to F minor, and I got F minor to E minor. Or F minor to C major. B flat minor. I'm gonna do it all in minor, why not? F minor. Then I noticed something. Wait a second. I'm going from B flat minor to F minor, and then I'm going from F minor to E minor. So, or C major, however you want to think about that. I like this E minor idea, though, so I'm going to stick with it. So the ending of the first one, the F minor, is the same as the beginning of the second one. So B flat minor to F minor, and then F minor to E minor. So really, there's only three chords. I just go B flat minor to F minor, and I stay there, and then I move that to E minor. Well, how simple is that? So check that out. F minor. F minor, E minor, B flat minor, B flat minor, F minor, F minor, E minor. Okay, so that's, you know, that's kind of how I would think about playing it, to be really kind of more relaxed. Because when you want to improvise and play changes and all that, and you want to have an idea and you want to express that idea, if you're doing a bunch of math and calculation, it's going to really put you into a straitjacket, you know, in terms of your ability to relax, you know. So I'm always trying to find ways to get relaxed, you know. And usually that involves simplifying what I'm thinking about, you know. Eventually getting, hopefully, to the point where I'm not thinking really about anything. So this one, that going from six chords down to three chords, that cuts, to me, that kind of cuts it in half. And then the bridge is just, this is 2-5-1 in B flat. Of course, there are many different substitutions and cool things you can put on that cadence, especially on the five chord. And we'll get to that when we do the head to Hot House, because Hot House does, that's exactly what Hot House does. It puts all kinds of weird little details in there. But for the basic tune, then it goes to an A flat. This A-flat, what is it really? I mean, in the original, you just gave me that idea. It's really more like an F minor, again. And then you go on to some kind of G7, you know? So, so if I were to play the whole tune, you know, 2, 3, 4... flat, and another F minor here to a G. F minor. I'm sorry, B flat minor. F minor to C. This video got a little bit long, so I think I'll stop here, and then in the next video I'll go into Hot House. But this is kind of like how I try to break down a tune and think about changes, like what are the sections, what's really changing, you know, what's, I think of the changes as what changes, you know, what not like what is each chord, but what's actually changing between F minor and between D half diminished. Nothing's really changing between F minor 6 and D half diminished. It's exactly the same, like Dizzy Gillespie said in that book. So so you don't need to change the way you think about it. You can just stay there and let the bass change. And when the bass changes from an F to a D, it makes what you play sound different, even if you're playing the same thing, you know. Because if I play, it's a different sound, you know, depending on the context. All right, so next time we'll get into Hot House and see how this tune is elaborated on with the language of bebop. All right, see you next time. Well, that's it for today's episode. I hope you found it useful for your personal work. This podcast was produced by Ed Gavitt, with the original source being a video on Patreon. If you'd like to see this video, head on over to Patreon and search for Work with Miles Okazaki. If you go through a browser and sign up as a member, it's a very small fee. And if you like the convenience of the iOS app, it's just a little bit more. In any case, as a member, you have access to categories such as exercises for the guitar, things to download, things to practice, guided practice sessions where I practice and you play along, a category called the Language of Jazz where I go through standards and famous solos, transcriptions, listening sessions, and also a complete series on every composition by Thelonious Monk as it might be played on the guitar. I do detailed demonstration of material from my book Fundamentals of Guitar and have prepared special exercises and software even for members of the site. Every Sunday we sit down with some Bach, take a look at some violin sonatas, cello suites, inventions, well-tempered clavier, things like that. We work on sight reading, we work on listening, exercises to train your ear, exercises to train rhythmically off the instrument. And then as often as I can, I sit down and do a mailbag episode where I go through listener questions and answer them directly. We're having a lot of fun over there, and I really hope you can join us. And thanks for joining us today on this podcast version and for your support of creative music. See you next time.